you, do you remember a time in your life when you hurt or disappointed someone that you really, really love? A time when you breached a relationship? And when you came to yourself, you wanted nothing more than to return, to repent, and to be forgiven. You wanted to reconcile and make that relationship whole again. I think we've all been there. And some of us may even find ourselves in that place this morning. So on this fourth Sunday in Lent, we are a little past halfway on our journey to Jerusalem, and it seems like today is a perfect time to pause and to reflect. After all, this journey in Lent is a time of self-examination. It's a time to see where we are as we continue to make our way and not try to jump ahead to the celebration to Easter. So we stop and we look. Jewish New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine talks about parables. As you know, this story that we just heard is called a parable. And she explains how the parables are captured in Scripture, in Bible. And they are most often in the form of what they call an open narrative. And the open narrative invites us, the hearers, to find ourselves, to sort of situate ourselves in the story, in the parable. So I'm going to invite you to do just that this morning. You see, there's not just one simple message, not just one simple message like in a fairy tale, in a parable. How you hear and how you experience these parables depends totally on who you are and where you are in your life. And today's story is no different. Parents will hear the story differently than children. Senior citizens will hear the story differently than the millennials. Rebellious or faithful, it'll be different for you. During the time of Reformation, if you were a Roman Catholic, you heard this story with an ear towards the sinful nature of us and the need for repentance and forgiveness. And if you were a Protestant, you would focus more on the compassionate mercy and love and grace of God. So let me ask you, where do you find yourself in this story this morning? You don't have to tell me, but think about it. Who do you think you are in this story? Which one of these characters? And I'll tell you where I am in this story. I'm back in the 1970s, and I had just gotten my driver's license, every parent's worst nightmare. And my parents and my friend's parents had reluctantly agreed to let us go together an hour's drive to the nearest city to see the latest, greatest, hottest movie. My mother asked me, "When do you expect to be home?" To which I replied, "10 p.m. "Well, you know how those things are. We didn't quite calculate it correctly, and the movie was longer than we thought, and so we were going to be late getting home by at least 2 hours. And I kind of knew that before we left. And this was pre-cell phone era, let me tell you. So on that 1 hour ride back home, I started composing and rehearsing the little speech that I would make when I get home, praying actually that my parents would be asleep and I could just slip unnoticed. Well, as we pulled up, the house was lit up like the northern lights and there was no slipping in. I opened the front door to the most terrifying sight that I still remember. It was my mother and my maternal grandmother, who was visiting, sitting upright on the bench in the hallway. And I got the look. You know the look, do you? You've received that look. You probably have given that look. And I quickly glanced from my mother to my grandmother, looking for just a shred of mercy. And I very quickly realized that this look was inherited. But what I remember most was not the look. What I remember was the churning inside of me, knowing that I had caused people who loved me to unnecessarily worry. And I wanted nothing more than to be forgiven and to have that relationship whole again. And I pretty much received what I expected. I was left off fairly easy, despite the look. So where do you find yourself in the story? One of the most extraordinary meditations on this parable is in Henry Nouwen's book, The Return of the Prodigal Son. In the book, he shares his spiritual journey after his encounter with Rembrandt's massive painting of The Return of the Prodigal Son. Has any of you seen it? It's in the Hermitage in St. Petersburg. It's huge, larger than life. I posted a copy of it in the Narthex. It's right next to the Golden Rule poster. You can take a look at it. Rembrandt's Return of the Prodigal Son. And on the left part of the canvas, you can see the younger son kneeling before his father. His head is shaved and his clothes are tattered and his sandals are falling off. And you can see the soles of his feet and the scars from the journey that he has made. And the father in the painting is pulling him into himself with the look of this love and compassion and mercy that I don't think anyone has adequate words to describe. And on the right side, standing ostensibly, is the older son. And he has on this vivid red cape like his father's. And he has a turban and he's standing up looking at the younger brother, and there is no celebratory expression on his face. He looks angry. And in the painting, in the center of your view, is the young man on his knees. And you can't help but look at him first. The painting kind of draws you in, much like the parable itself. And no one certainly saw himself in the young man, someone who had been restless and traveled all over the world, seeking love and affirmation in places that turn out to be the wrong places and the wrong things and the wrong people. He spent time thinking on how he really resembles the younger son until his friend challenged him and said, "Don't you see yourself in the older one?" And he was shocked. Could he possibly be that angry, jealous, spiteful, sanctimonious older brother? You know, the good one, the model one, the one who stayed home and did what he was supposed to do? And of course, as he wrestled more deeply with it, he could indeed see himself in that space too. What he finally comes to in his book is that while we inhabit many of these personas. So when you read the story, one day you can be one character and the next day the other character. We, as Christians, we are ultimately called to emulate, obviously, the parent, the father. Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." And so no one realized that his real calling, his real vocation, was to emulate the parent, the father, extending hands to those who are suffering, those and letting them rest in his hands, and then resting his hands on the shoulders of those who will come to him, offering blessing, just as he had been blessed. My friend Tom tells a story of walking home from a bus stop with his dad many years ago. As they walked, they decided to order a pizza to be waiting for them when they got home. This also was pre-cell phone era. And before they got to the phone booth, they encountered a homeless man who said, "Can you spare some change?" And so Tom tells that his dad dug into his pockets and he pulled out all these coins and he said, "Here, take what you need." And the homeless guy was shocked and he said, "Well, I'll take it all." And he took every coin into his two hands and turned to go on his way. And Tom's dad quickly realized that, wait a minute, I need a coin to make that phone call from that phone booth. So he ran back to the homeless guy and said, "I need to make a phone call. Do you have any change?" And do you know what the man did? He pulled the coins out of his pockets. He held out his hands and said, "Here, take what you need." You see, in this journey of life, we are all, at times, homeless beggars, lost, and looking for home. We have 3 weeks of this Lenten journey left. Remember, it's never too late to come to yourself, to run to the one who loves you more than you can possibly ask or imagine, the one who will meet you where you are and say to you, "Here, take what you need." Amen.